I don't know about you, but this gospel has always made me a little uncomfortable. This parable that Jesus teaches about the rich man and Lazarus has always made me uncomfortable. And it seems like we get it often in Mass. It's like, you know, why does Jesus always have to make it uncomfortable? Why does he have to preach on these things? And I think there's a lot that we can get out of this parable. One of the first things that kind of makes me uncomfortable is the way in which the rich man tries to debate with Abraham. Because I kind of see myself in that sometimes, how he's debating with him. He's like, you know, okay, I understand my situation, but you know, if you would send someone to my brothers, they would definitely listen to him. And Abraham rightly says, you know, even if someone would rise from the dead, they wouldn't listen. Even if the Son of God came down from heaven, died, rose from the dead, still wouldn't listen. And it's true, because sometimes that is difficult for me to listen to. One of the main reasons this parable is hard to listen to is because it has to do with poverty and our treatment of the poor. And that's difficult for us to listen to. But when it comes down to it, a lot of what Jesus preached on had to do with the care of the poor. A lot of what Jesus preached on had to do with the care of the poor. And that's primarily the message of this parable. And I don't think we need to read into it too much. That the care for the poor has always been at the heart of the church. The care for the poor has always been at the heart of the church. Pope Benedict was very famous for saying that the church does three things. They worship God, they evangelize, and they care for the poor. They worship God, they evangelize, and they care for the poor. And one really implies the other. They don't take away from each other. My care for the poor doesn't take away my worship of God. My evangelizing doesn't take away from my care for the poor, but they actually help each other. That the church does three things. They worship God, they evangelize, and they care for the poor. So when we listen to this parable, it makes us a little uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable because it has to do with poverty. And it really calls into question what we are doing about it. Because we see these two different results in the parable. The poor man goes up to heaven, and the rich man goes down to hell. And the main difference between them was their care for the poor. What happened to him? You feel bad for the poor man. It says he would have eaten his fill of the scraps. The dogs would lick his wounds. You feel a lot of compassion for him. One interesting thing that I thought about this is the name of the parable. We always call it the rich man and Lazarus. And if you think about it, it's usually the poor person who's forgotten in history. You can't think of a lot of poor people who are famous. Mother Teresa, I mean, besides people who actually worked in the church, there's not a lot of famous poor people. Their names are forgotten. But in this parable, it's the poor man whose name that we know. The rich man, we don't know what his name is. It's the poor man, Lazarus. He's the one that's named. It's the focus that's on him, which is what Jesus is trying to tell us. So there's a couple things that I want to talk about when the church mentions the poor, because Jesus does it often. And I think there's some misconceptions that we can have. One of the first is that being poor is not a virtue. We talk about being poor, but the church doesn't say that you need to go out, give everything away, and just live on the streets irrationally. Being poor isn't necessarily a virtue. And on the flip side, having wealth, having money, is not a condemnation. That's not what they're saying. But it's more so the attitude of the poor people that the church is trying to cultivate. And it's something that's kind of strange. I've been on many mission trips, and this is something that I've witnessed, that I've never seen a poor person who's an atheist. I've never seen a poor person who's an atheist. And you think that they would have every right to lose their faith in God. They're down on their means. They're living below poverty level. You think that they would have every reason to give up their belief in God. And yet, they're some of the most faithful people you will ever meet. It seems like atheism is a privilege of the wealthy. Because when we do have more means, we tend to rely on our own means. We think that we can provide for ourselves. So the attitude that the church is trying to cultivate is one of the poor person, that we need to rely on God. We need to rely on God. And what the church means was kind of described in this conversation I saw between these two politicians. One was accusing the other one of not caring about the poor. And the other politician responded, he said, well, I guess I don't care about them insofar as I wish that they weren't poor anymore. And that's the point. We don't want them to be poor, but we want to cultivate that attitude that they have. Cardinal George used to be the Cardinal of Chicago, one cardinal ago. And he was at this lunch of a bunch of big benefactors, and he was talking to them, and he was thanking them for their donations. And he brought up this parable to them. And he said, the poor need you. The poor need you so that they can get out of their poverty. And you need the poor so that, to save you from hell, which is very tough. If that makes you uncomfortable, the gospel makes me uncomfortable. Jesus says uncomfortable things. Sometimes he puts his finger on an issue in our lives which needs to be brought to light, our care for the poor. What do we do for the poor? And it seems kind of strange, you know, in Dickinson, I drive around, I don't really see a lot of poor people. But they're here. They're in our community. The first thing that we can't do is become complacent. We can't become complacent in this. The first reading talks about people who were laying on beds of ivory. They were eating whatever they wanted to eat. They were putting rich ointment on themselves. They were listening to harps. They were drinking wine out of bowls, which must have been a thing back then. And what happens to them is that they were the first ones who were put into exile. It was those complacent ones, the first ones that were put into exile. So when we talk about poverty, when Jesus talks about poverty, like what does it do to our lives and how do we respond? And I came up with a couple things right here in our community that we can do to help the poor. The first is donating to institutions which directly help them. We have a St. Vincent de Paul Society in our city, which works directly with the poor. Earlier this week, we had the feast day of St. Vincent de Paul, a famous saint, did a lot of work with the poor. And there are institutions which carry his name and carry on his mission of working with the poor. The second is tithing to the church. It's a beautiful thing that whenever someone is down on their means, they know that they can go to the church for help. I'd rather them come to the church than to the government. They know that they can come to the church for help. And the way that we're able to do that is through your generous donations. People don't necessarily know to go to their neighbor, but they know to go to the church because the church is charitable. And also, in our diocese, we have the mission in Kenya. We literally have money being sent down to third world countries to help the poor like this. We have our mission in Kenya, which does a lot. The last thing, and it may sound weird, but this is connected, is to evangelize, to spread our faith. Like I said, there are three things that the church does. They worship God, they evangelize, and they take care of the poor. And these aren't mutually exclusive. So if we do evangelize, we will care for the poor. When Mother Teresa came to the United States, I say this story often, she said that the United States is one of the poorest countries she's ever seen. Not in material possessions, but in spiritual poverty. That sometimes what Jesus is talking about isn't physical, material poverty, but it's spiritual poverty. And one way in which that is cured is evangelizing. So, if you read this gospel and you're uncomfortable, if you hear what Jesus has to say about the poor and that makes you uncomfortable, if the thought of evangelizing, sharing your faith, makes you uncomfortable, then maybe that's what Jesus is calling you to do this week. Sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone, get into the growth zone. That oftentimes when we do share our faith, it will help the poor. So this week, do not forget the poor. Do not forget the poor, the material poor, the spiritual poor. Sometimes we ourselves can be poor. And it's like in the antiphon, which was read right before the gospel, God was rich, and he became poor, so that in our poverty, we may become rich like him. So let us, in our poverty, become rich through our evangelization and care for the poor.